they're a speed animal, like you say. They want to run. They love to run. And just like any human sport or anything else, there's injuries involved. We try to manage that and prevent that as much as possible, because like you said, these horses are part of our family, and the last thing we'd ever want to have happen is to have some get hurt, and especially if it happened to be a fault of my own. Like, that would be my ultimate fear.
Welcome to the Equine Body Talks podcast. We'll be diving into the equine industry from the lens of a body worker, talking to other equine professionals and discussing scenarios around soft tissue work for all equine athletes. I'm Kim Krebs, your host. I've been working for over 2 decades in this industry as a loper, barn manager, and body worker. With the many horses I've worked with in all of these capacities, it has driven me to want to continually find out the why and the hows of equine biomechanics, health, and performance. My mentor and one of our industry's leaders, Tina Watkins of In-Hand Equine Therapy, will also be sharing hosting duties with me. Tina has been an equestrian her entire life and has dedicated the last 25 years to bringing bodywork forward as a professional career through her business, as well as education and teaching of future and current bodyworkers. This podcast is dedicated to opening the conversation around equine wellness, diving deeper into the whole body approach for equine performance horses. Imagine you travel back in time, over 100 years ago, crossing the western plains of North America. You're trailing a herd of cattle for weeks or possibly months to pasture or to market, and the way to move your tents and supplies is by wagon. A wagon driver, who's also likely the camp cook, quickly moves the team of horses over rough terrain to set up for the next campsite and get supper on the fire for the hungry crew. This is where chuck wagons come from. For many listening to this podcast, you may have never heard of a chuck wagon, let alone racing them. It is most common in Western Canada, where the sport got its start in the early 1900s. This event is not for the faint of heart. It has morphed and evolved over decades, but if you were to watch it today, you'd see a team of 4 thoroughbreds pulling a wagon with the driver at the helm. Each wagon has 2 outriders who start the race unmounted, holding their thoroughbred saddle horses. One is also holding the lead team at the first barrel, and the second at the back of the wagon ready to throw in the stove, signaling the breakup of camp. When all the wagons, usually 3 of them at a time, are lined up at the first barrel, the horn will sound, at which point the stove is thrown into the wagon, the lead team is pointed in the right direction, outriders mount on the fly, and wagon teams and outriders complete a figure-8 pattern before heading out on the track and racing around it to see who can cross the finish line first. Various time penalties are handed out for infractions, such as barrels being knocked over, stoves not being loaded, wagon interference, or an outrider crossing the finish line too far behind his wagon driver. It's fast-paced, it's sit-on-the-edge-of-your-seat excitement, and it's beauty, as the thoroughbreds are let to run as they love to do. It's also an industry that's very misunderstood, and often given a spotlight only when mishaps occur. The reality of what happens within this sport, from behind the scenes at the barns to what takes place on the track and in the off-season, to the conditioning and care programs, as well as the actual frequency of incidents, is not truly reported on. For that reason, the wagon races have garnered unfair press and become a hot-button topic. Especially of late, with a last-minute decision by the Calgary Stampede to not host the Rangeland Derby this year, a decision that, in my opinion, was made unfairly and most certainly with another agenda, but where the board of the Calgary Stampede stated they felt horses would not be fit enough to compete. In today's Discipline Focus episode, my hope is to bring the reality of the chuck wagon circuit to our listeners. The idea of wagon drivers being callous individuals only interested in the glory of the win without a care for their horses or their fellow competitors, as you will soon find out, is simply just not true. I'm especially passionate about discussing this because I detest ignorance, and I feel that the decision made by the Stampede Board was unjustly laying blame on horsemen and women who know their horses, care for their horses as they would family, and know how to fit them for competition. As an equestrian and bodyworker, fitness is something we talk about all the time, and it is not to be taken lightly for any competitive athlete. I sat down with Chad and Caitlin Fike of Chad Fike Chuckwagon Racing on an incredible Alberta evening. The horses were finished their evening meal and were turned out grazing in the pasture all around us. You will soon understand. Chad and Caitlin are incredible people and very humble. They love the sport, their family, and their horses. Chad has been immersed in this sport his entire life as a fourth-generation chuckwagon competitor, and Caitlin, as well, was brought up around the thoroughbred racetrack. Chad's great-grandfather and grandfather are former drivers, his brother Jordy Fike is a fellow driver, and his mother Donna is a former WPCA chuckwagon judge. Chad has won many accolades over his pro career, which started in 2005 when he won Top Rookie Outrider and has continued on from there. Chad and Caitlin have two children, Racin and Ryden, along with a herd of almost 30 horses. This is not only an event for them to participate in, it's their life and it's their family, horses and humans alike. Thanks you guys so much for joining us here on the podcast. This discipline focus series that we've been doing is something that I really wanted to make sure that people understood about different disciplines, equine disciplines throughout the world. And so I thank you guys again for taking the time out of your evening here and sitting down and chatting with us.
Yeah, well, thank you for having us on.
Because there's people from all over the world that probably have never even heard of chuckwagon racing that are going to be listening to this, can you give us a little bit of a history of where chuckwagon racing came from?
So the sport was actually began in the early 1900s at the Calgary Stampede itself. They were looking for a new attraction to bring to the Calgary Stampede, and Guy Wiedek had come up with this idea of little cook wagons that used to race across the range back in the early days of cattle drives and everything. And so he invented the sport, basically. So it's a four horse team. Back then they had to light a campfire, get the stove load and tent pegs loaded, and then they raced around the track. And back then it was just that. It was rickety old chuck wagons, old cook wagons from the range, and it was the sports evolved from there.
I should say it's really evolved, hasn't it?
Yeah, no, it's really gone professional, and now the equipment's changed drastically for safety reasons and speed and different things of that sort.
Mm-hmm. And your family specifically has also really been involved in chuck wagons for a number of years, or generations even.
That's right. I'm a fourth generation chuck wagon driver, they call me. So my grandpa's dad, Wilbur, he raced back in the day. He didn't really have a team of his own, but he'd drive for different outfits here and there. And back then it wasn't, you just entered Calgary Stampede. You didn't have to qualify. You weren't invited. You just entered, and some guys drove two wagons. So he raced for a while there. And then my grandpa got started when he was 18 years old. And then when he retired, he was 60 years old, and he is the longest competing chuck wagon driver at that point. And so I grew up in the sport from the time I was born, and then I was 12 when Grandpa retired, and then when I turned 17 I became an outrider in the sport, and did that for a number of years, and still dabbling it a little bit as well as running my own wagon myself.
Talk to us a little bit about outriders as well. And so, as you mentioned earlier, you have the wagon with the four horses, but what do the outriders themselves do?
That's right. So originally there used to be four outriders per wagon. So you'd have one outrider, he'd steady the lead team before the start of the race. You're lined up in the barrels, and the lead outrider holds the lead team of the chuck wagon and makes sure they're pointing in the right direction. So when the klaxon horn blows, the horses will always start where their noses are pointed. So they have an important job. And then there's three outriders in the back. Two would load tent pegs that would signal loading a tent at camp, and another would load a stove in the back of the chuck wagon. Then they'd have to follow their wagon, do the figure eight pattern, mount their horses on the fly, and be within 150 feet of their chuck wagon at the finish line. since then they've gone down to two outriders, so there's just, you got the stove man in the back and your lead man up front.
One of the most amazing things about the outriders, I think, is how you guys actually mount the horses on the fly.
Yeah, that's part of it. It's once you're on, anyone can do it, but it's the handling the horses when you're on the ground and being able to mount on the fly and setting your horse up. Basically so you don't fail, right? You gotta make sure they're in the proper lead going to the top barrel, so you know which direction you're going when you jump on. And yeah, there's an art to it for sure.
Yeah, I'd say
definitely.
And Caitlin, you have a huge role to play as well in the function of the team itself, and I've been privileged to be able to be behind the barns with you guys and watch not only prior to the races and how you guys prep the horses to get going, but also after the races and then how you take care of the horses afterwards. And I think especially prudent for this podcast, because specifically we always talk about equine body work and we're geared towards people that are caring for the horses. Can you tell us a little bit about, you know, what your job entails in terms of behind the scenes?
Absolutely. So we do. We travel with 22 horses, and it's a full-time job just making sure that they are taken care of all the time. But they're performance horses, so we absolutely have to make sure that we're doing everything we can for prevention and aftercare as well, because obviously we don't want injuries to happen. But these are performance horses, so we have to make sure that everything is taken care of all the time. So before the races, after the races, you know, after mornings when they come in back into the barn, when we're training, all the different things from wrapping legs, icing legs, mudding. Our vet is a huge part of our program. We have a whole group of people, just interdisciplinarians as far as equine body workers, and we will try lots of different things just to make sure that all of our horses get the best care that they can. And some horses, you know, need something different, whether, you know, one horse needs a chiropractic adjustment, you know, one horse needs to be seen by the vet, and we're not, you know, stuck in any way of, we will do whatever it takes to make them happy and healthy and keep them sound. There's a lot of competition days in the year, and so we have to be on top of it 24/7 and knowing that prevention is the best medicine. And sometimes we're old school. We know that, you know, simply ice can solve a lot of things. So we're never a group to skimp on modalities of any kind. And when we first started, that was a big deal. Our first year on the tour is that, you know, we maybe didn't have the horses that we have now. We kind of had some older boys, and they had to have a lot of TLC just to make sure that, you know, we could get through all the days. And so it would be late nights in the barn, icing and mudding and wrapping, and early mornings doing the same thing. So that's always kind of been my job in conjunction with Chad too. It's a team sport. It's a team effort. It's a family effort. It's just making sure that we can do everything that we can to help them, and we don't skimp on care.
No, not at all. One of the biggest things too about the fitness itself on the horses and how you guys have to condition these horses to get them ready, because this is obviously a super intense high speed event. Mm-hmm. You have to take this super, super seriously and be very dedicated. So can you talk to us a little bit about what is your conditioning program coming before your main events?
Yeah, so typically we would start 1st of April, or when the snow disappears around here, which is typically around then. But that's when our starting date is the end of May. And we've always trained them to try to have them peak, be at the top performance, come those big money shows at the Pinoca Stampede and Calgary Stampede. This year, with the season shaping up differently, we took into account that they did have a year and a half off, so we made the choice to start training 1st of April anyway. Just give them a little more time, slow miles, lots of slow miles, legging them up. Yeah, just going slow with them, just giving them that much more time, because I guess like any athlete, if you take a year off, right, it's going to take a little bit more time to get back into the swing of things. So yeah, we made that decision, I guess, in March to start training 1st of April, and yeah, so we got 2 months in them. Come Stampede, we would have had, 3 months of training on the horses, exercise and legging them up. We were training, so they're going to hopefully
be at their peak performance come the first show of the year. So we took everything into account with the schedule and everything, and it was only fair to our horses to have them in the best shape as possible come the first show of the year.
And with your conditioning program, how is it? Because obviously these aren't riding horses that you're using. These are, as I said, the wagon racing horses. So, or I mean, your outriders for sure are as well, which are also conditioned. But how do you do that? I know I've seen it on some of your posts, but do you mind explaining a little bit to us how you guys get them in shape?
Yeah, so it's probably not the most conventional method as opposed to other disciplines. I know there's some racehorse people that do it as well, but we have a couple trucks specifically set up, like pickup trucks, and they have racks built around them, pipe steel racks, and they come out 4 feet on either side and out in front of the vehicle and back as well. And the horses are just tied up there with a halter and a shank, and they just trot or gallop alongside the truck, and they learn to work themselves. They actually end up pulling the truck around the field. You're riding the brakes more than you are the gas pedal. They learn to, wow, they love it, and they enjoy getting out, and that's their release, right? So
yeah,
the new ones, as I say new ones, those are the ones that we've just bought off the racetrack recently. We don't use the track as much because we're breaking them with a broke horse, an older horse. Like, we got a few retired horses that stay on the place, and their only job is for a couple weeks out of the year, we hook them up with the new boys and they show them the ropes. So we drive them in twos out in the field, and that's their exercise.
And to make sure that people understand as well, is that it's not just about, like you say, hooking them up and then going full bore. Like, you are really conscious of bringing them along slowly at the walk, the trot, and then into, before you even get into ever a gallop.
Well, yeah, here we are 2 months in and our horses still haven't ran. They're still on the slow miles, building muscles. Before we go to our first show, like, we have plans going to a racetrack here next week and giving them a few short runs. They're not going to run the full lap of the track, so we'll, first time they blow on the chuck wagon, and by blow I mean they're running on the chuck wagon, we'll run them to the third turn, ease them down to a gallop, and pull them up. The next one we'll go just past the fourth turn, and then by the third we'll send them all the way. So there's the works, the training runs prior to the first competition.
And not only the fitness, I guess, of the horses, but the fitness of you too as the driver, because I mean, once those horses go, like you say that very casually, oh yeah, we'll make sure that they come back to a gallop. I mean, that's not that easy to do. I mean, that is a wagon that is on the run.
Yeah, and that's all part of it too. Like, I, in the off season, I do go to the gym and I work out. That some guys don't do that, but maybe it'll give me an edge. I don't know, right? So I work on it too in the off season, and that's all part of driving horses in the spring, driving around the pasture. I'm practicing as well, right? So
yeah,
I'm getting keen with driving them, and again, and I was excited to see there wasn't much rust to knock off from after a year and a half off. So yeah, no, it's definitely me practicing too.
Yeah. And the other thing that's really cool about you guys is you're a huge part of this community. You really involve the rest of the community, local community especially. So you're involved with Olds College, with their race program. You're also, I know, have sent horses to Cooley Equine, for instance. And again, that goes to that care that you were talking about earlier and the different modalities, but that if you need to, you can utilize those services as well. So what is it, especially with the college, that you bring your horses to them? What are they being used for there?
This is something that's really become near and dear to Chad and I. I actually, my parents are racehorse trainers, and I grew up on the racehorse track. I learned how to gallop, and it was old school. I didn't learn how in a specific setting with professional instructors and really nice horses to gallop. I didn't really grow up with that. I just kind of got thrown on, and you kind of learn as you go. And so we have really built, I guess, a bond. It's important for us to keep the thoroughbred racetrack community and the chuckwagon community together. We think that's very important. We have probably half of our horses are Alberta breds. We're very proud of that. We're proud of the thoroughbred breed, all the way up from the breeders to the fact that they then go to the racetrack. And we like to keep a good reputation and know that when we purchase a horse off the racetrack, that the trainers and the owners of the track know that we are an awesome home to go to. And so we just want to keep giving back. And the Olds College has a program through the Alberta Horse Racing Association where they actually teach and instruct younger coming up youth just out of high school for grooms and for gallop / jockey school. And they take phenomenal care of our horses. We love sending our boys there around January time. We send a few of them that are really just nice, quiet thoroughbreds that will teach somebody how to be a professional exercise rider. And it just keeps that really good, honest, open, you know, friendship, I guess, that we've grown with the horse racing community and with the school as well. And we're really fortunate to have Cooley Equine close to us as well. Katie's become a second home to a lot of our boys when, you know, maybe something's happened and they need to go have love. They need to go to the spa. You know, they need to go beyond the treadmill. They need to go do those things, and we trust that when they go to Katie that they're in the best hands. She sends us picture updates, which as a horse mom I absolutely love. So just being a part of this community has just been fantastic. We love where we live, and we know that there's so many people here that love horses and love chuck wagons too, and so it's important for us to, you know, make sure that people know that they're always welcome here and that we're happy that they love the sport as much as we do.
That's so cool that you guys are that open, though. I mean, there's a lot of other equine disciplines that are more shuttered when it comes to throwing open their doors mm-hmm. and letting people inside that are wanting to be educated and know what's going on, just because they may not have that knowledge. So
yeah, we believe that, you know, the preservation of the equine athlete is education.
Yeah.
And so having people more educated and more knowledgeable about what we do creates this culture of, you know, not just fans, but them really loving the sport and, you know, feeling like they have a home team to cheer for.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, what's going to keep the sport or any horse sport alive is the fans, really.
Yeah, very true. One of the other things too that's really unique about the chuck wagon community is the family aspect. So we've talked about, you know, how your family has been through this generation after generation, and now you have your own generation that's coming up too. But that's the really neat thing, is it takes everybody in your family. Even when you have young kids, they're still so much involved in helping behind the scenes, and, you know, the feeding of the horses, the caring of the horses, and the horses themselves really do become part of your family. And that's so evident if anybody does get the privilege to be able to go behind the scenes and see that firsthand. So I think that's something that needs to be said, and is so unique from other disciplines, again, that, you know, don't necessarily have that. It might be just one individual in the family that is part of it, but it doesn't take the whole family to participate in getting a wagon ready for one evening performance, mm-hmm. let alone a whole season.
Yeah, very true.
And also the community of you guys as chuck wagon families as you travel, because you're on the road essentially from May through to August with the same people that you're going from show to show with. And you do help out, because you alluded to it earlier that you still do some outriding as well. So you are a competitor yourself, but then you jump on as an outrider to help another guy
yeah.
in his heat. So that's pretty unique.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't enjoy helping someone else outrun me, but sometimes financially it makes sense. But yeah, you hit the nail right on the head there. We are a big community going down the road, and there isn't anything that no one wouldn't do for one another on the road. And yes, we are competitors on the racetrack, but you can find any number of camps, kids at your camp at any number of times. And sometimes our kids will be over playing at the Benz Miller Gores glass camp, right? So they got 36 parents on the road with them watching out for them. So it's a pretty cool way. It's how I grew up, and yeah, pretty happy to raise my kids in the same lifestyle.
Yeah, that's awesome. Can you take us through what it's like on race day, right from like the get-go, when you guys first get up in the morning on race day? What would that look like?
Yeah, so your typical day, like the days go late, they go well into the late hours of the night, but we get up around 6:30 in the morning, get up, feed oats, then we have our coffee and have our sessions with another chuck wagon driver or whatever, just relax, let the horses have their breakfast. Then if there's any outfits that need an exercise that morning or run on the racetrack, because we're packing 3-4 outfits down the road, they're not all going in races, right? You get like your lineups in hockey, you got your first, second, third, fourth lineups. So the ones that need a little more practice and training, they go in the morning, so we get that done. And then all the horses get turned out of the barn. All the shows we go to, they have turnout pens that we make, and then the horses can go and play and eat grass and relax while we clean their barn and give them fresh bedding and give them their lunch. And usually roughly takes a couple hours, and then we bring them back into the barn, and then that's usually our time to eat breakfast. So we get to have breakfast around 10 o'clock in the morning, and after that there's tack to be cleaned, there's chuck wagons to be cleaned, so all that stuff gets done in preparation for the evening's races. And then it's nap time, because there's not a lot of sleep at night, especially if you've had a rough run the night before. You're up all night trying to think what you could have done different or whatever. And even if you had a good run, you don't sleep because you're excited. So a lot of times there's not a lot of sleep. So you have your afternoon nap, and that's kind of your time to relax and unwind. And then 4 o'clock in the afternoon, we start our evening chores. So again, the horses get turned out of the barn freshly cleaned, bedded. We mix their feed for the evening, and we bath the ones that are racing in that evening. So bath 6 horses, and that's when Caitlin gets to work prepping the horses for the evening races and going through everything. And then, so there's a little bit of downtime. Then you get the horses harnessed for the evening performance. And when it's your time to go, you hook them up to the chuck wagon and you go race. After you get back from your race, horses that ran turned out in the pens to cool down and unwind, relax, have their water, chill out for a bit, and then once they're cooled down, bring them in, they get another bath, and then they get their evening feed, all the horses. Again, Caitlin gets back to work, and she's in there, she's mudding legs, icing legs, and every horse that runs, they all get their legs mudded every evening, and they get the special treatment. Usually by the time we get out of the barn there, it's getting late, and you might have a time to have a beer with your neighbor or your family, and then it's off to bed and do it all again the next day.
Yeah, because typically how many nights in a row would you guys be racing?
The typical show is between 4 and 5 days, so yeah. Our longer ones are Pinoca, which is 6 days, and Calgary Stampede, which is 10, so...
And it's not always, like you said, you have your first, second, third line type wagon strings that you will run at different times, so that they're not running the same horses all the time.
No, that's right. They would never run more than twice a weekend, typically. Yeah. And if you see a horse maybe getting tired, that's what that third and fourth string horses are. You can bring one up from there that's ready to go to spell off another one if need be, and carry on that way. So yeah, no, they're always ready to go. They don't get overran.
Yeah. And you have quite a few, like you said, 22 that you take down the road with you all the time?
Yeah, typically 22 will do us for the season. We try to have our herd set up so nothing gets left at home. The only things that are left at home, we have, like I say, some retired horses here that we just use for breaking the new ones in the spring. So once they're done doing their job teaching the new ones the ropes and the youngsters the ropes, they get turned out to grass. So those are typically the only horses we have at home, other than our saddle horses and the kids' horses and that. Right. So I don't know. The new horses don't seem to get any better if they stay at home. So we want to make sure they can come on the road with us. Fair. That's how we have it set up.
Yeah. And speaking of new horses, so chuck wagon racing, a little bit different than a lot of disciplines that usually breed for sport-specific traits that they're wanting. But with you guys, you definitely have a very distinct type of horse that you're looking for, but you're not looking, you don't have mares here. These are geldings that you're running.
That's right. Yeah. And that was the other thing Caitlin's talking about, race horses, right? And why we help the Gallop School program. We're helping the hand that feeds us, right? So we get all our horses off the racetrack, and whether they're getting a little old to be a racehorse or whatever the case may be, we're their next avenue in life. So
which I think is really cool to make sure people understand. And like you said, their second avenue or a second chance, because not necessarily that they would always be finding another home after the racetrack life.
Yeah, like there's lots of different disciplines for a sporting thoroughbred horse. We just happen to be one of them. They can continue to race on the chuck wagon. Guys have won the Stampede. Logan Gorse just won the Stampede in 2019, sorry, with a 17-year-old Buff Leader, and Kurt Benzmiller had done it 2 years prior to that with a 17-year-old horse. So they can still compete into their late teens on a chuck wagon. So they have a long career with us, and like I say, then when they're old enough, they tell us when they're ready to be done. They get turned out to pasture for a retirement after that.
Yeah, they live a pretty sweet life, and they get to live in a herd setting too, which is pretty unique compared to some other disciplines. And obviously every farm is going to be a little bit different, but the way you guys have it set up, and you have like a nice valley here, and the horses, you know, you talked about their fitness coming into the season, but really they kind of keep themselves fit based on the amount of land that they have through the winter and the fact that they're moving up and down on the hills as well. So that's pretty unique.
That was very strategic. Chad planned that out. We live on a huge coulee, and so we kind of have a 3-point system set up, and we have 80 acres in there turned out from the time we get home from being on the road late August until April 1st. But they get, as difficult as it is for us to feed the very bottom of the coulee, we do it all winter long. They get fed their grain at the very bottom of the coulee, and then Chad feeds their hay at the top. And then we actually have a natural well on spring on our property that Chad has created this really awesome system where it free flows all year round, even when it's minus 40, of this amazing fresh spring water. But it's clear on the other side of our property, so they have to really travel. And so they will run down to the bottom to get oats, and then they'll run all the way up, and then they'll run down to get water, and they're just constantly moving and keeping themselves pretty fit all year round.
Yeah, I think that's really awesome and really thoughtful that you also planned it that way. I guess the next thing we maybe want to touch on a little bit is the fact that obviously it's inevitable anytime that you have a speed event, whether it's a human event or an equine event or a canine, whatever, whoever it is that's running it, you're going to end up with having some wrecks. And I think that has been a bit of a spotlight that's unfairly put because of the notoriety that you guys have at the Calgary Stampede, and the fact that what is seen on a national and even international spotlight are those 10 days of racing that are very intense. And obviously wrecks do happen, and it's not something that you want to have happen. These are members of your family that are in the wagons themselves, and you as a driver are susceptible to a huge harm if something happens in a wreck. But also the horses themselves are part of your family, and as you say, you get them and have them long into their retirement life, and then you don't want to have anything happen to them. Can you maybe just touch a little bit on that? It is something that is unfortunately a part of any speed event.
Yeah, that's right. And you're right there. Any discipline where you have speed and horses, which have their own personalities and their own ideas on things, things don't always go smooth. We've been fortunate; we've never been involved in any sort of situation like that. It does happen, and the unfortunate thing about our sport is when things do go wrong, it's quite spectacular because these horses are running together as a team. And if one happens to trip up and stuff, it doesn't always mean catastrophic for the horses. It just looks that way sometimes. These horses are pretty smart. If they're down, well, any horse, if they're down and they feel they can't move, they just lay there until they feel the pressure's off, and then they pop right back up again. So the things that can look fairly spectacular on TV or in pictures don't always mean they're catastrophic for the horse, I guess is what I'm trying to get at. But it's one of those things. We've had horses get hurt running around in the pasture here too. It's uh, they're a speed animal, like you say. They want to run. They love to run. And just like any human sport or anything else, there's injuries involved. We try to manage that and prevent that as much as possible, because like you said, these horses are part of our family, and the last thing we'd ever want to have happen is to have some get hurt, and especially if it happened to be a fault of my own. Like, that would be my ultimate fear, knock on wood, that's never been the case.
Exactly. The best way is for people to become educated about, you know, what the sport is about, and hopefully through this type of podcast and other means, people do choose to educate themselves in terms of wanting to know what actually is happening behind the scenes. And like you say, it's what is shown on TV or through social media isn't always really what's happening. I think that it's true for anything. Photos or things can be misconstrued. So
news really likes to portray the negative, right? And that's what gets them the hits and that gets the clicks on the Facebook and stuff. But if you were really to break down the statistics of our sport, and if you look at the amount of animals raced in a night, and you look at injuries, our sport is actually one of the safest there is. So yes, you do get some negative press when the catastrophic looking wrecks happen, but when you look at the amount of animals that race and compete and carry on through their careers for long careers, it's quite a safe sport for these horses.
Yeah, absolutely. I would agree 100%. I'd be pretty lucky if you were a chuck wagon horse, honestly. Yeah. I think my cutters would be envious of the lifestyle your horses lead.
Just, I would like to thank all the fans and all the listeners of your podcast. If you don't know what chuck wagon racing is, check it out. Maybe come out to your local show if you happen to live in Western Canada and come out and support us, because as long as we have fans, we have this great sport, and these animals will continue to do what they love to do, and that's what we want for them. We want a sport that they're able to still be able to compete in and run and do what they love, because that would break my heart if they weren't able to do what they love to do.
Yeah, and they truly love to run. You, at this point, do you know of any upcoming races that you could mention for people to keep their eyes open for?
Yeah, so right now we still have a show coming up here end of June in Dewberry, and then we're looking at some days early July in High River. Those are all tentative, and we'll also be racing in Medicine Hat, Strathmore, Dawson Creek, and Bonneville this summer. So there's still lots of race days. So come out and support.
Well, we're definitely going to be there.
Perfect.
Awesome. Well, I can't thank you guys enough for taking the time and sitting down and visiting with me tonight. And a beautiful night here in Alberta. So we don't get many of these. It's been super sweet to be able to spend it with you guys.
Yeah. Well, thank you for coming on. I appreciate it.
I love this sport, not only for the thrill of the races, but because of the people, how they interact with their fellow competitors, fans, industry professionals, and most of all, the horses. This is a community. It's a community worth getting to know further, and one I hope you feel more connected to after hearing today's interview. More on Chuckwagon Racing can be found on the World Professional Chuckwagon Association website at WPCA.com or their Facebook page. The list of upcoming races this season will be found there, and they certainly appreciate all the support they can get, especially after the last few years. If you're interested in sponsoring a tarp on a wagon, you can also find out how through the WPCA website or email office@wpca.com. Chad Fike Chuck Wagon Racing is on Facebook under the same handle or through Instagram at @cfikechuckwagon. To leave you today, I thought I'd share Caitlin's post after the announcement was made about the cancellation of this year's Rangeland Derby. I think it sums up beautifully the passion and dedication they have. This morning, we did what we've done for the last 2 months. We trained. And do you know what we're going to do tomorrow? Train. Chad Fike reminded me last night that there's a lot of days of running this year, and we're going to keep with our program, because we are already ready for all of them. We plan for this. These are our babies. We know them. We know what it takes specifically down to the number of days and runs for each horse, because we know which ones peak early and which ones need more time. They need to be in full performance mode. We don't do anything without careful planning and consideration. I brought out some apples after we trained and sat with them for a while with tears rolling down my face and reminded myself of what my husband said. Everything happens for a reason. This is our mantra. So tomorrow, we train. When you visit us at the other shows, and I sure hope you do, we'll be there ready, excited, and doing what we all love to do. Thank you for listening to this episode. We appreciate each rating and review you can give to help grow this podcast. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook under Equine Body Talks, or connect with us by email at equinebodytalks@gmail.com. To learn more about courses by InHand Equine Therapy, please follow them on Instagram and Facebook as well, and their online course platform at inhandequinetherapy.podia.com. Remember to always be an advocate for your horse and not be afraid to open the conversation around your horse's wellness team.